live in studio today with Tegan and Sarah. We're before a live studio audience. Everyone say hey. We are also on the internet on Facebook Live, so if you're near your computer or your phone, you can watch live. Thank you guys so much for coming in, and let's get started with a song.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. VIP tickets, which are still available. You can find information about that at stubsaustin.com. And that song, Stop Desires, from your new record, Love You to Death.
Yes.
Yes. And Love You to Death is a follow-up to 2013's Heartthrob, is when you kind of took a turn into the pop world. Mm-hmm. And I read that Taylor Swift was inspired by Heartthrob when she was making 1989. And I wondered, like, when you're writing for this new record, how did that affect your creative process at all, to know that the work that you make could have, like, pretty far-reaching pop culture, like, impact?
Taylor's always in the back of my mind. it's strange because we came up in a world where I think we would have been so excited if anyone claimed that we were influencing them. You know, we were talking about this last night, that we were sort of like these, like, nerdy younger sisters in a lot of the scenes that we were a part of growing up, and we were sort of always like wishing someone would just go, yeah, I like you, and then if someone did, we would just like freak out about that for forever. So it's interesting, because as we've sort of started to adjust our production and sound to be more pop, it was almost immediate that these really cool, you know, big pop stars were sort of like, yeah, I like what Tegan and Sarah are doing. And we were like, us? This? Are Tegan and Sarah like us?
Do you think that's because pop music is actually more centered around women and like appreciation of women?
We always thought maybe it's because we're just not really a threat to them. They're like, oh, it's so cute. I like your songs, you know. I definitely think that pop music changed again, right? I mean, it's on this endless cycle that, you know, and when we started playing music, we were in the late 90s and we were in sort of like a garage rock band. And when we got signed, we were much more of a, sort of, we'd evolved into more of like an indie rock band, and pop music at that point was, I mean, that was early 2000s, so it was like Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and the end of the boy band reign, sort of, and Nickelback and like all these big rock bands started to get huge. And so we just were like outsiders. We were like completely and totally, we fit nowhere. And I think pop music, like sort of the hybridness of it in the mid to late 2000s started to really appeal to us. You saw a lot of electronic artists combining forces with indie rock, and we ended up writing a song with Tiesto, and we performed the song Feel It In My Bones a few times with him, and I was shocked at how diverse the audience was, and I was really excited about the prospect of trying to reach a wider audience by sort of marrying our indie rock sound with a more pop production. And I think that in the last couple of years, it's definitely been to our benefit that so many of the people who are doing that are female. And there does seem to be a little less sexism on the radio. And so there's a little more female support. But, you know, I don't think Sarah and I ever really cared about the radio part of it. We just were really excited about doing something different and new. And, you know, we were excited about the idea of challenging ourselves and getting up on stage and feeling terrified again, you know.
Right on. Doing something different.
Yeah, because you get so comfortable. We were so happy and comfortable. We were doing really well. And then it was like, all right, let's change the whole game and see if we can do it.
And you did it, which is, it was a good instinct to follow, but it is a risk because it could have been like, hey guys, what about this? And then,
well, Sarah started talking a few months ago about how now we're going to make a record that's acoustic, and I feel terrified. Like, I'm like, oh my God, do we even know how to do that?
Well, speaking of getting out of your comfort zones, I know that it, around Heartthrob, or I've read, I don't know because I haven't asked you, but I've read that you used to really write separately, like you would each write your separate songs and then bring them to Sarah, Tegan and Sarah. And then around Heartthrob, you started to collaborate more and songwrite more and not just collaborate on production. So, I mean, is that another aspect of it, like getting out of your comfort zone songwriting-wise?
I think so. I mean, we still do a lot of stuff alone. I mean, we're just, that's sort of just how we both feel comfortable, I think, in those early stages. It's pretty awkward to be in a room with anyone, really, when you're just trying out new melodies and writing lyrics. We've done it a little bit more. Like, we wrote a couple of songs on this record, you know, in the room with another human being who wasn't just me and Tegan. And I was just like, it feels intimate in a way that sort of borders on the romantic intimate, if you get my, like, there's something about revealing a part of yourself that really so few people get to see, that you sort of are like, do you like, does it look weird when I go like this, or is it, what about when I sing like this, is that gross, does that, is that wrong, like, you know, it's just sort of like,
you're really revealing a lot about how you feel about intimacy right now. So far it's all been about how you look. Am I gross?
But it's like, that's how it feels when I'm writing a song alone. When I'm writing a song alone, I don't think about those things. And I think for me, it's if I meet somebody and I think, oh, I have a real connection with them, like Jack Antonoff from Bleachers and Fun, he and I have been collaborating, you know, over a number of years, and I don't feel self-conscious at all sending him something. Jesse Shatkin, who we wrote 100 times on this record with, I have a really just comfortable rapport with him, and I've written, you know, a number of times with him, and I feel like I can just be like, la, la, and he's just like, cool, yeah, I like that part. And I'm like, great. So it just, I think even for me and Tegan, there's still awkwardness when we write together. And there's just something really intimate about, you know, starting to sing a melody and put words to that. It's very weird.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you're writing by yourself, there's always the possibility of like, I never have to show anyone this.
Yeah.
Like, if I hate it, I never have to show anyone.
And you can fix it before you have to show people, you know, whereas like, it's like the thought of just being in a room and just trying things. And then in my mind, the person is thinking like, oh my God, she's so bad. How did she make it all these years? This is horrible.
So do you guys have any like twin magic when you write together ever? Like, I have never written a song with someone with whom I share the same DNA. So right. I didn't know if there would be a thing.
I think there's definitely, well, it's probably the twin magic that's kept our career going for 20 years, which is that
we are twins. We're family. There's sort of something, like, I can't escape Sarah. Thank you. And I mean that in a very loving way, but, like, also, like, even vocally, like, people have often asked us if we want to explore solo careers or joining other projects, but she has my voice. She can't really go anywhere, like, because it'll sound like me still.
Yeah.
So writing is it's hard. It's a tough thing to do. I've done it with other artists, and it's something that I'll leave and I'll go home and I'll think, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't care. I don't care about being a big songwriter. I don't care about any of that stuff. Whereas with Sarah, like, for instance, the next song that we're going to play, which was off of our last record, when I wrote that song, I sent it to Sarah and she was like, this is a really great song. Keep writing, like, finish it, change the lyrics, push yourself. Like, it needs more parts. And I did 7 versions of the song and Sarah kept pushing me. And I don't know that I would appreciate that feedback from anyone else. But then when I got in the studio, you know, Greg Kirsten, who was producing the record, he works with a lot of big pop stars, and he said, this is a great song, and this is an undeniable hook, but you need a chorus. And I was so insulted, and that instinct to quit and give up and be like, you're wrong, came up in me like a fire. And when I got back to the studio the next day, Sarah was like, all right, let's go to work on a chorus. And it was her that bridged the gap between insecurity and determination, you know, and
really like a Tony Robbins character in your life.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, she was a real jerk about it. I mean, I'm giving you the PG version. I wanted to get on top of her with a pillow on her face. Like, I was so mad at her because she just, between her and Greg, I went home every day a smaller being. My soul just was being sucked.
Oh my God.
It was hard. It was tough. It was a really tough thing. Sarah had just started, she was only, had been with this woman for, they've been together now for 5 years, but they'd been together just a short period of time, Stacy. And Stacy came to the studio. It was her first time in a recording studio. And she watched us trying to write lyrics. We finally got the melody for the chorus of Closer, and we were trying to write lyrics. And she was just sitting on the couch. And then after like 10 minutes, was like, I'm going to leave. This is awful. This is not fun in any way. And so it's, you know, I think Sarah's...
That's what she said the first time we were intimate, too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Anyway, so yeah, so Sarah has the ability to push me probably further than another human being could get away with. So
there's the magic right there. Well, there, guys, it is. I feel like... I have to hear Closer now, like 7 versions and a chorus later. We have to hear Closer. So you guys are going to be at Stubbs tonight. Doors are at 7. It's sold out, but there are VIP tickets available. People can find them at stubbsaustin.com. The new album is Love You to Death, but this is from Heartthrob, and it's Closer, and I'm so excited that I get to see you play it live.
Before we touch, come a little closer. The doors are open, the wind is really blowing. Night sky is changing over it. It's not just our physical. I'm the type who won't get up so critical. So let's make things physical. I won't treat you like you're oh so typical. I won't treat you like you're typical. You think a lady is getting underneath me? Well, all I dream of lately is how to get you underneath me. Here comes the heat before we meet. A little bit closer. Here comes the spark before the dark. Come a little closer. The lights are up and the sun is finally setting. Night sky is changing over it. It's not just our physical. I'm the type who won't get up so critical. So let's make things physical. I won't treat you like you're oh so typical. Now I won't treat you like your typical. I want you, Rose, I want you. I won't treat you like your typical. Of you, me, here come the dreams. It's not just our physical. I'm the type who won't get up, so pretty girl. So let's make things physical. I won't treat you like you're all so typical. I want you, Rose, I want you. I won't treat you like you're typical. I want you, Rose, I want you. I won't treat you like your typical. I won't treat you like your typical. I won't treat you like your typical. All I wanna get is a little bit closer. All I wanna know is, can you come a little closer?
Tegan and Sarah live in Studio 1A. And that was Closer. It took a long way to get there, but you got there, and it's a great song.
Thanks.
And I think you have one more to play for us, right? Off the new record?
Yep.
Excellent.
We're going to play a song called Boyfriend.
Yay.
Tell you that I love you, that I can't hold back. The feeling that you give me, wanna give it right back. I know you always win at this particular game. I need to know the rules if you want me to play. You treat me like your boyfriend and trust me like a very best friend. Kiss me like your boyfriend. Trying to be honest, cause I can't relax. When I get around you, I can hide the fact. I let you take advantage, it's felt so good. I blame myself for thinking we both understood. You treat me like your boyfriend and trust me like I'm your very best friend. Kiss me like your boyfriend. Play the pride game. You feel the same. Don't wanna spin the bottle again. You feel the same. You treat me like your boyfriend and trust me like a very best friend. Kiss me like your boyfriend. You call me up like you were your best friend. Turn me on like you would your boyfriend. I don't wanna be your secret anymore. You treat me like your boyfriend and trust me like a very best friend. Kiss me like your boyfriend. You call me up like you would your best friend. You turn me on like you would your boyfriend. Secret anymore.
Thanks, guys. Tegan and Sarah live in Studio 1A, and they are backed up by Gabe McNair on the keys and vocals, Ava Gardner on the bass and Brendan Buckley on percussion. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Have a great time at Stubbs tonight.
Thank you so much.
If you're interested in going tonight, it's sold out, but there are VIP tickets still available. The new album is Love You to Death. And thank you guys so
Thanks
much.
For having us. Thanks to the audience as well.
Yeah, right thank on. You guys. Thank you very much.
98.9 KUTX, your Austin music experience. Thanks to Cliff Hargrove and Jake Perlman for being our engineers. And have a good time tonight, y'all.
Thanks.
Thanks.